Let me start with this question. How many of you have made at least one time in your life an unwise decision? Woohoo! Yes, unwise decision makers in the room. We're filled with them. How many of you have gotten hurt because of your unwise decision? Most of us, right? So maybe you're kind of like this guy in this video that thought it was a wise choice to try to do a cannonball through his frozen pool. So it's so funny, but so painful. Hey, we put ourselves in bad spots because of our unwise decisions. And when we make unwise decisions, here's what we think. And it's the biggest lie in the world, is that, hey, it's just my choice. It's only going to affect me. It's my life. It doesn't affect anyone else. But the truth is this right here, that everything we do affects everyone we know. No matter how big or how small of what we do, everything we do affects everyone we know. Whether it's big or small, whether it's meaningful or not, in one way or another, it does. What we choose to do affects people. And so the person that's saying that this is my life, it's not affecting anyone, they're not saying that out of a love for others, they're saying that out of a love for themselves. So this is our very last session in counterculture. We'll go into a Christmas series starting next week. But we're talking about entertainment today. So what it means for a Christian, a little Christ, a Christ follower, to live counterculturally in what we choose to do and watch and listen to and play and take part in for entertainment. Here's the big idea. That's where we're launching. You can determine the course of your life and your relationship with God by your entertainment choices. That's a pretty big statement. That's a bold statement. And ask yourself, do you really agree with that? That you can determine the course of your life, not just your relationship with God, by your entertainment choices. Do they really have that much power over us? I would say absolutely they do. And here's what Jesus says. In Matthew 6, 22 and 23, Jesus says, "The eye is the light of the body, so then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness." He's not talking about a healthy eye. He's talking about what you take in, what you look at. And I think beyond that, you could even say he's saying what you bring into your mind. So the things you look at, the things you listen to, the things you think about, if they are good things, it says your whole body, your whole life will be full of light and goodness. If you constantly put bad things in your mind, it's going to encourage you to be more sinful. It's going to fill your life with darkness. That's what Jesus says. So this is a huge one. In the room, there's two types of people. We've got rule followers and rule breakers. Who are the rule followers? Like you're black and white. You like to know what's right and wrong, and you kind of just do what you should, right? Yeah, rule followers. Normally it's about one-third rule followers, and then two-thirds the rule breakers. Where are you at, rule breakers? I'm a rule breaker. My wife is a rule follower. So that's an interesting dynamic in our marriage. Some of you just want to know what's right and wrong so you can do it. Others of you want to get permission to get as far into the gray area as you can, and as long, you know, it just doesn't matter. You're going to do it as long as you can get away with it, and it's not going to hurt anyone else. That's you. But here's the first thing to know. Three principles today about entertainment. The first one is that life as a Christian is not about getting permission to do what I want to do, but rather about living in submission to all that God wants. So you rule breakers, this is a hard one for you. It's a hard one for us, rule breakers. It's not about just finding permission to go as far into the gray as we can. It's about, what does it look like rather to live in submission to all that God wants instead of all that I want? Now, everything I'm going to say here today is for Christians. So if you're not a Christian yet, you don't really know where you stand with God, I'm not asking you to change your behavior, to change your entertainment choices. The most important thing for you is not how you behave, it's what you believe. So turn your life over to Christ, and that is the only thing that's going to change how you behave. But if you're a Christian, being a Christian is not about, okay, God, I believe in you, and I would really like to do this and this and this. I hope that's okay. That's not what being a Christian is about. It's about living our life in complete submission to God. So it's saying every day when you wake up, God, I surrender to you, I submit to you with hands raised, I'm hiding nothing back from you. God, so whatever, I'm not trying to ask for permission to do anything, I just want what you want because you want what's best for me anyway. So in submission, if you say to stop something, today I want to stop. If you're asking me to start something today I want to start it. Whatever you say, God, that's what it looks like. And that may sound like slavery. That may sound like That may sound like being, you know, under a dictator, but it's not. Because the most freeing thing in the world is living in submission to Christ. That's the paradox of Christianity that most people don't understand. That when you live in submission to God, you will experience the greatest freedom in your life. And here's why I believe that. Because Jesus loves you. He's got greater plans for you than you have for yourself. Have you ever thought about that? He loves you more than you love you. And how much do you love you? Most of us love ourselves. You love yourself a lot. And I know that because I follow you on Instagram. And I see selfie after selfie after selfie. We love ourselves. And we want to put ourselves out there for the whole world to see. And you know, most of us, everyone in here in this room has gotten to a place where you thought, I know I shouldn't do that. I know I shouldn't be watching this. I know I shouldn't listen to this. I know I shouldn't play that. I know I shouldn't read this. But then we go ahead and do it anyway. Why is that? It's because we love ourselves and we want what we want. But you know what? We wouldn't do that if we loved ourselves the way Jesus loves ourselves. The reason we do it is because we don't love ourselves as much as Jesus loves us. In fact, no one has lied to you, no one has hurt you, no one has betrayed you, no one has deceived you more than you. Jesus wants the best for you. He has the best for you. It's living in complete submission to Him that you will discover that, and that's true freedom. So what is the best? How do we understand what God's best for us when it comes to entertainment? How do we choose what's right and what God wants for us? Here's three questions, and I want you to write them down. Find a place, a piece of paper inside of your Bible, on your arm, on your buddy's forehead, wherever you need to write it down, so you can remember these three questions. Every time you're thinking about entertainment and what you should do, Friday night, you got some time or whatever, tonight, you know, this afternoon after lunch, you sit down, well, how am I going to waste my time today? Here's what you want to say. Number one, what does the Bible say about this? Okay, so if you get an idea, okay, what does the Bible say about this? Have you ever seen a celebrity or someone famous get up in front of a crowd in a podium, there's mics in his face, there's cameras on him, because he has to admit he's done something wrong and confess and apologize? Have you ever seen anyone do that because they were trying to follow the Bible? Think about it. I've seen people get in trouble because they were trying to follow the Bible, but I've never seen anyone have to confess and apologize for what they did because they were trying to follow the Bible. It's always because they were doing something that went against the Bible, and that's when their life blew up. You follow the Bible, your life's never going to blow up. So the question begins, number one, right off the bat. Okay, what does the Bible say about this? So you search the Bible. You do word searches online. You look at principles. And then the second question is, what do godlier and wiser people think about this? So sometimes the Bible is gray, and it's not really clear. So you can get principles, and you can get ideas from Scripture, but some things the Bible doesn't even touch on, like video games. The Bible doesn't talk about video games. It doesn't say thou shalt not play 10 hours of video games every day. But there are principles in that you can pull from. And then you talk to other people that are farther along in their spiritual life than you. And the first place to stop, maybe they're not farther along in their spiritual life, but the first place to stop there is your parents. Whether they're Christian or not, you need to get their advice because they're your parents and God has asked you to honor them as your mother and father. So what do your parents say? So if you ask me about some movie you're wanting to see and say, hey, what do you think? I would say, well, have you asked your parents about it? And then what if you said, well, no, because I know what they would say. Well, then you know what you should do. If you know what they would say, you know what you should do. What do godlier and wiser people think about this? Sometimes even godly Christians are split on a topic. They think something's okay, and this side thinks it's not. So you take the principles from the Bible, you take what godly people say, and then you make it personal and say, okay, what's the wise thing for me to do? In light of my past experiences and how something like this has affected me in my spiritual life, in light of my present circumstances, the struggles I'm dealing with right now, and in light of all my future hopes and dreams and what I want to accomplish in my life and I want God to do in my life, in light of all that, what's the wise thing for me to do right now? Knowing what the Bible says, knowing what other godly people say, what's the wise thing for me to do? Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Paul wasn't a Christian. He didn't start out that way. He actually started out hating Christians and hunting Christians down to torture and persecute them. But he was radically saved and began to plant churches for Christ. So he would plant a church in a city or a region, and then he would kind of get it built up. And then once they had leaders in place, he would move on and plant another one. So a lot of these New Testament letters are letters to the churches that he planted. So Ephesians is a letter to the church in Ephesus that he planted, kind of checking back in with them, encouraging them, saying, hey, just remember, these are the things that you need to do to really be successful as you follow Christ. Remember to do these things. So Ephesians chapter 5, towards the end of the letter to this church, in verse 15 through 17, he says this, look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. So don't make unwise decisions. Be wise. Ask yourself, what is the wise thing to do? What does that look like? So in verse 16, it says, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. So in other words, there's a lot of junk out there. In media, in social media, in movies, in TV, in music, in your life, in your friend's life, in the world, there is a lot of junk out there. So choose what's wise, choose what's best, make the best use of your time, because you don't want to get strung up in junk. You don't want to have that take your time for what is best. In verse 17 it says, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Okay, what's God's will? What is the will of God for you? Well, look back at verse 15. Remember it said to walk as someone that's wise and to make the best use of your time in verse 16. That's God's will for you, to walk in wisdom and make the best use of your time as you follow Christ. That's a pretty simple life plan, but it's extremely hard to live out. That's God's will for you, according to these verses. So in your entertainment choices, think about how that plays out. Here's the second principle. Submitting to God leads you not to ask, what can I do, but rather, what is the wise thing to do? So it's almost rephrasing the first principle. What is the wise thing to do? When you're trying to figure out whether or not something is a sin or not, you're either being legalistic or you're wanting to push the boundaries. And neither one of those are right. So instead of asking, can I do this? Would it be wrong if I did this? Instead, ask yourself, would this be unwise if I did this? Proverbs 3:13 through 16 says, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. From the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Nothing you desire in movies, nothing you want to see on TV, nothing you hope to read in a book, nothing in the world you could gain at all will compare to wisdom in your life. So you should always be asking this question, is this wise for me to do? Ask it in the little things, and it's going to grow and snowball into bigger things, for good or for bad. Probably about 5 years ago, Caleb, our only boy, was, I guess, probably 2.5 or so, and I got home from church one Wednesday night, and Ashley was frustrated and upset. I tried to figure out what was going on, and she just said, just go up to your son's room. So I went up to my son's room thinking that he had been mean, you know, he was in timeout or something. And I opened the door, and he was still in diapers at the time. But when I opened the door, Caleb wasn't even in there. So I thought. But then I looked around, and I started seeing that the carpet, the walls, the bed sheets, behind the door, everywhere your eye could see was poop. There was poop covering everything. Carpet, walls, it was everywhere. He had taken his diaper off after he had gone number two. And he had taken the poop, and he had smeared it everywhere. Now, laugh, I bet some of you are poop painters. You just go ask your parents, and they'll tell you a story or two. And you'll have to deal with it maybe if you have kids one day. But this went way beyond what he had normally done. You know, you would think you smeared a couple times on the back of your door, and you're like, well, that's pretty gross. I'm going to stop that. But he went way beyond that, and you know, it didn't start off that way. The night before, his room was clean. It was one smear, and then two smears, and then before he knew it, he had covered it. His whole world, his room, was disgusting. And that's kind of like what we do with our lives. And it's a good picture of what entertainment does to us as well. The snowball effect, that just one unwise choice after one unwise choice will totally wreck our world. And to a point where we can't clean it up ourselves. Caleb couldn't clean that up himself. I had to spend the 4 hours scrubbing every inch of his room to clean it up. Let me tell you how this played out in my life. I've done a 180 on my entertainment choices since I was your age. In high school, actually as like a freshman, I had a friend that worked at a video store. So he would let me get R-rated movies and like bypass the, you know, is this person 17 question or whatever. So I would go to the store, and I was just so interested in R-rated movies growing up in a pretty protective Christian home, that they were prohibited, you know. So I would get a PG movie, like some Disney movie or whatever, and then I'd rent an R-rated movie. So I'd put the PG movie, like, on top of the TV, you know. And back then, I had a TV in my room. Just don't do that. That's not the wise thing to do. So, but I had a TV in my room. I put the PG movie on the stand by the TV, and then I would take the R-rated movie and like shove it under my bed until late at night. I'd pull it out and watch it. And they weren't like horrible, nasty movies, but they were R-rated, and I knew it was wrong. And then as a 16-year-old, I'd sneak my girlfriend into R-rated movies at the theater, and so it started affecting more people, and it started getting to be a bigger deal. And then when I got in college, I went to like a year or two stint where I just wanted to see the most dark, twisted, messed up movies that I could see. So from horror movies to everything else that I could find, the most sadistic, weird movies I could find, I just watched, and I just filled myself with that to the point where I couldn't stop. And it really was until I was married that someone stepped in. Like, I stepped into Caleb's room and was able to clean up his mess for him. It was my wife that stepped into my world and cleaned up my mess for me. And she said, if we're going to be married, we're going to talk about having kids. You can't have these movies anymore. So I remember a few months after we were married, I walked down two big bins, probably 80 DVDs, of movies, and I didn't want to go sell them and make a profit. I didn't want to give them to anyone. So I took a big chunk of my DVD collection and just threw them in the dumpster and got rid of them. And I wouldn't have been able to do that without someone else in my life saying, this isn't the wise thing to do. What do godly people say about it in your life? That's a huge one. It starts with one unwise decision, and it snowballs into more and more and more until your whole world is filled with junk and disgusting stuff. And what seems innocent now can turn into something much more. So let's talk about the black and white versus the gray. There's a big difference between sinful and unwise, and this is really important to get. So I've got a hammer back here. You can use a hammer for a lot of things. So would it be a sin? Would it be sinful for me to take this hammer and chuck it right at Jeffrey's face? He's like, yes. He's like, please say yes. It would be. I would say that would be sinful to intentionally try to cause harm to someone else, whether he's my friend or not. He's my friend, but if he wasn't, it would still be sinful, right? And what about if I took this hammer and I put my thumb right here and I just, as hard as I could, banged my own thumb? Would that be sinful? Okay. It's not so black and white anymore, is it? It's about half and half. Some of you think so, some of you don't think so. Here's what I would say. I don't know, but I would submit I understand that your body is a temple of God and all that stuff. I would say that that would be unwise, but I don't know if it's sinful. I'm not sure if it's sinful. Now, if I were like pounding on my head until I caused, you know, massive damage to myself, I would consider that sinful. But hitting your thumb once, I don't know. But it's unwise, for sure. Now, what about taking this hammer and, like I did last week, hammering nails into the wall so we could put up those wreaths for Christmas? Sinful? Unwise? No, that's useful. That's helpful, isn't it? So it's using one thing in three different ways, getting three very different moral outcomes. And you see the black and white, but you also see the gray in the middle. And that can be movies, that can be any type of entertainment. It can be used in very different ways and have different outcomes. So let's talk about the black and white. Is there anything we could say is absolutely wrong for you to do that? That is a sin. Well, I think there is. So number one, if it's illegal, it's wrong. We're called to follow the law. It's a sin to break the law. So if it's illegal, it's wrong. So the most clear thing that plays out in entertainment is if you're not 17 and you don't have your parents' permission explicitly to watch a certain movie, then watching a rated R movie is wrong because it's breaking the law. Second, if it involves nudity, you ready for this? It's wrong. And let me explain this. Here's why I think that if it involves nudity, I think it's wrong. Number one, because I think you would answer, is this the wise thing to do? I think you would answer with that, no. And if it's unwise for you to do it, then I think that leads you to more harmful places. But here's why I would say it with nudity. Because when you see nudity, it's always going to pop up in your mind as something more. It's always going to embed itself a little deeper. And I don't care who you are, I don't buy that you can't watch nudity and not have your mind go somewhere, even just remotely lustful. I don't care who you are, that's going to happen. And the more time you watch and the more time you see it, the easier it gets to get to that place. So I would say, if it involves nudity, it's wrong. Other people may not say that, but I'm telling you from my experience. Third, if it goes against what your parents have said or you know what that they desire for you, it's wrong for you. If you have an app on your phone that you don't want your parents to know about, that's wrong. Fourth, if it would compromise your integrity as a Christ follower, if there's a CD or a video game or a movie or an app or a book or a TV show that would embarrass you to have to get up right now and say, okay, guys, last week I watched, played, did, read, saw this. Right now in front of everyone this morning, if it would embarrass you to have to say that, that's probably wrong for you because that's showing you that there's some integrity issues going on. So that doesn't cover everything, but those are just, that shows you that there are some things that you know you shouldn't do that are black and white. But when the Bible isn't clear, you ask yourself, what is the wise thing to do? How am I using this? Will it be useful for my life? Where will this take my mind? And here's why. It's because what you think about continually, you will do eventually. The more you think about something, the closer you get to doing it. Think about something eventually, you begin to accept it, and then you begin to participate in it. It's a slippery slope, and entertainment is the slope. So best just not to get on the slope at all and ask yourself, what is the wise thing to do? Because Philippians 4:8 says this, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing." So this is Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, and this is how he closes it, basically. "Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." That's what we should put in our mind and in our heart, he says. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "Take captive every thought and make it submit to Christ." So whenever you have a thought that's sparked from something maybe you're watching or doing, you grab hold of that thought before it turns sinful, and you point it to Christ, or you snuff it out. You say, no, I'm not going to think about that. That's not wise. That's unhealthy for me. So if it takes your mind to unhealthy things, the answer is no. Here's the third principle. We'll finish up here. Complete submission to the Lord leads you to make decisions based on the answer to this question. So it goes beyond, is this wise? Here's the final question. Will this honor God? Will this honor God? So let's talk about some specific types of entertainment and just kind of poke around and see how this question rattles out. Let's talk about movies. So you pull up the theater website and see these movies that are opening that opened this weekend. You got The Good Dinosaur. Anybody see that movie this weekend? Good Dinosaur, a wholesome story of one boy befriending a dinosaur. That sounds nice. Here's Creed, a loose sequel to the Rocky boxing franchise. It's rated PG-13 for violence, language, and sensuality. You got Victor Frankenstein, Harry Potter's grown-up. Frankenstein from Igor's perspective. Rated PG-13 for gore, death, and destruction. The Danish Girl. Story of one of the first well-known transgenders in the world. Rated R for sexuality and nudity. You got The Night Before. Three stoner friends spend a night trying to find the most stonerific party in New York City. Surprisingly rated R for drug use and language, strong sexual content, and graphic nudity. So you read those and you're like, okay, what is the wise thing for me to watch any of these? What will honor God? Okay, and like we've talked about, there's black and white. Obviously the rated R ones seem pretty black and white. Like it would be unwise to go see, but what about the others? Will this honor God? So you ask that question. And what I'm saying, what I'm not saying is this movie about honoring God? Is this movie about Christ? Is it about being a Christian? Does it worship God in the movie? That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, is the content in the movie and where it will take your mind, will that take you to a place that honors God? Or will it take you to a place that more easily pulls you away from God? That's where we're trying to get to. So let's put this into perspective. If you're struggling in your relationship with God, if you can't get into the Bible, if you have trouble controlling your tongue or your anger, if Sunday morning worship isn't super exciting for you, if you just feel like you're fading away from God, where do you think that comes from? I mean, we watch movies that God hates, and then we come to church and we expect God to do something and show up and move in our life. And that's not going to happen. It doesn't work that way. So all I'm asking, I guess, is take a moment before you watch a movie, look up the content beyond just what that little rated PG-13 for sensuality, that could mean 100 different things. Look up what it really has in it. Find a good review from a Christian website and ask yourself this question. Okay, will me watching this lead me to a place that honors God? What about apps? This is becoming more and more dangerous, especially for teenagers. They're targeting you on a lot of apps. I mean, for good reasons and for bad reasons. So there's black and white here for sure, obviously. Apps that, does anyone know what all those are? I don't even know what all those are. Oh my gosh. That's crazy. All right, let's bring it in. What's the target one? Top left. Anybody know? What is it?
Scout.
Scout? Okay. What is that app for? Do you know?
By meeting other people.
Okay. Just social gathering place. Okay. All right. So black and white on these. I mean, apps that you hide from your parents, I already mentioned that. If you wouldn't want them knowing, get rid of those. Apps that actually hide photos, the calculator app, apps that actually hide other apps, that's just deception. It's sinful. So run from that. Apps that encourage you to encourage you or tempts you to do anything that would dishonor God or compromise your integrity as a Christian, stay away from those. If they're tempting you or encouraging you to go to that place, and let me mention this because we just heard a statistic from our pastor Steve Holdaway this last week that by the time a girl graduates high school, 80% of them, 80% of you girls, by the time you graduate high school, will be asked to send a picture to a guy, you know, over text messaging. Whether clothed or however unclothed, you're going to be asked. 4 out of 5. So girls, don't do that. I don't care how clothed you are. If you have all your clothes on, there's no reason to send a picture to a guy. Don't give in to that. And guys, how dare we ever ask a girl for that? That's not manning up. That's not leading them and protecting them like we've talked about. Don't use social media, don't use your phone to take you to a place that tempts you or encourages you to get farther from Christ. Instead, use it as a way to get closer to Christ. That's what redeeming technology is about. So you can either reject technology, I'm not getting a smartphone because I could see bad things on it. You could receive it and say, I'm going to do everything I can on this thing. Or you can redeem it. So we don't want to reject the culture. We don't want to just openly receive the culture. What we want to do is take it, but redeem it. Redeem the culture for godly things. So use your phone as a way to point you to Christ. Here's one way you can do it. Get our daily Bible text, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. 55 or so of us are getting this every day, and it's so awesome, I'm telling you, to know that we're all reading the same thing at the same time and thinking about the same thought. I love it every morning. Here's what you do. You text at 4G Bible to the number 81010. Monday through Friday, you'll get a Bible verse and one thought in one text message at 9 a.m. Every morning. That's a good way to use your phone to point you to Christ. Get a Bible app that leads you through a Bible plan and sets up notifications like YouVersion. Set boundaries for yourself, an app filter. How about this one? Leave your phone outside of your room when you go in after you brush your teeth to go to bed. That's funny. Yeah. Your palms are getting sweaty just thinking about it, right? Set it right outside your door and close it. Put it on the kitchen counter. Put it on the coffee table by the couch until you get up the next morning. Because let's face it, what do you think? 95% of what you use your phone for after bed is not useful or helpful or even wise, maybe even sinful. Why don't you just take that time to do something else? Music. Here's some of your favorite music artists. All right. I don't even know who Fetty Wap is. He just came up on my search. I was like, he looks good. I got to get Fetty Wap. Is that how you say his name? All right, that's good. All right. So how would you feel if every night at bedtime you had to sit down with your parents and read out loud to them the lyrics of every song that you listened to that day? How would you feel? Now, some of you would be totally fine. You don't listen to music at all, which that's great. And then some of you maybe just like, you know, a Christian like K-Love radio station to and from school, and that's it. So you'd be great. Some of you, I felt the groans and the cringes when you had that feeling of what it would be like to read the lyrics out loud to your parents. And that should tell you something, guys. Is that the wise? Would your parents want that? Is that the wise thing for you to do? If that's you, I don't think it is. I don't think it is wise. So think about your choices before you turn on the radio or buy that CD or click that song. Know what you're getting ready to listen to. Is that really what God desires? If you want to find a Christian group that sounds a lot like a worldly or secular group that you listen to, talk to Eric or I. We'll help you out. We have a whole tower of CDs, a couple hundred CDs over there, filled with everything from like light listening to like screamo hard rock to rap, and it's all Christian, all good lyrics. So we'll help you find a good CD. That's yours to take. Take for a week or two, listen to it, and bring it back. If you like it, go grab it somewhere. Buy it online. If you don't, come get a different one. We want to help you redeem the music. So I guess the list goes on and on. I mean, we could talk about video games. We could talk about TV shows. We talk about books, but the principles are the same. What does the Bible say about this? What do other godly people say about it? And then what is the wise thing to do? Will this honor God? So I guess when it comes down to it, I'm just asking you guys to take some time to evaluate your entertainment life. Evaluate what you're choosing to allow into your eyes and into your ears and into your heart. Take a minute to ask these questions, those questions I just talked about, every time you choose to do something. And let me just end with this. If it's important to you, you'll find a way. So if making wise entertainment choices and keeping your integrity and getting closer to Christ is important to you, you'll find a way to do that when it comes to choosing what you fill your free time with. If it's not really important to you, that's when you're going to always find an excuse. You always find an excuse like I talked about. Well, it's my life. It's not hurting anyone else. It's not doing anything to anyone. That's the excuse that creeps in, and that just shows you that it's really not, your life with Christ isn't as important as you might think it is. So, It's just a movie. It's just a little nudity. It's just music. It's just a video game. It's not like it's real life. It's just a few pictures. Guys, God doesn't deal with excuses, so don't make them. Don't make excuses. Make wise choices. Remember, the big idea for today I want you to leave with is that you can determine the course of your life. You can determine the course of your afternoon. You can determine the course of this next week by your entertainment choices. The course of your relationship with God. Whether you come back next Sunday closer to Him than you are today or farther away, I think will greatly be determined by what you use your free time doing this week. Here's what I hope for us. Psalms 102, 101, 2, 2 and 3. I will ponder the way that is blameless. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray. God, we pray with that psalm. We want to think about the way that's blameless. We want to think about the things that are pure. We ask for that to come to us. We want to walk in integrity. We want to have a heart that glorifies you and honors you. Help us not to set anything that is worthless before our eyes, anything that is not useful. Help us to push aside anything unwise and sinful so that we can focus on you. There's good things out there, and let us focus on those. We pray that you'd give us the strength to start what we need to start and to stop what we need to stop, to delete the apps that we need to delete, to not watch the movies that we'd like to watch. As long as they don't honor you, God, we want to turn away from them. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.